All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by Larry Ziffer in memory of his beloved father, Pinchas ben Yosef Alimelech, Zichron Levracha. We hope that as the family observes the Shloshim, the Neshama of Pinchas ben Yosef Alimelech, Shavin Aliyah, and the family in Achama. So let's begin. I should say, let's continue. Today's daf is Kuf Ayin Aleph. Coming towards the end, it's hard to believe that we're almost finished with the Baal Basra. But the Gemara says the following. Remember, we were dealing yesterday with a truly riveting Mishnah. I know I say that often, but now I really mean it. So a truly riveting Mishnah about somebody who paid off part of their debt. So what do you do in the fact, I borrow $1,000 from Reuven, I pay him back $500. So what's the mechanism essentially for recording the payment while at the same time maintaining the shtar to allow Reuven to collect the other 500? So essentially we have now a three-way machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, Yachlif, you tear up the old shtar, write a new shtar. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we write a shover, we go ahead and we write the receipt, and the Beis Din gives me, or somebody gives me a receipt that I paid the 500, but the original shtar goes ahead and remains intact. The fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is, who is the onus upon? Rabbi Yehuda says, the onus is going to be upon the malva, so we make the malva keep the shtar. And Rabbi Yossi is going to say that the onus is going to be upon the lova. Therefore, we make the lova have to hold on to his shover. The Gemara then introduced us, Rav Huna then introduced us to a new position of Rav. And what did Rav say? Rav seemed to agree with Rabbi Yehuda that we write a new shtar. However, whereas Rabbi Yehuda said that it is Eidim who have the power to draft a new shtar. So Rav said, Eidim do not have the power to draft a new shtar. Rather, only Eidim have the ability to draft a new shtar. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Eidim have the ability to draft a new shtar. Rav said, only Beis Din has the ability to draft a new shtar. So we'll say, so that's where we left off with picking up Mamish, top of Kuf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. Bishlama Beidina, Ami Lafuke Mamona. So I understand, now the Gemara is going ahead and supporting Rav's position. So I understand if Beis Din has the power to go ahead and literally alimi, they're strong enough lafkoi mamona to go ahead and take money. Ela edim shasu shlichusan chozrin vaosin shlichusan. But edim who already went ahead and carried out their edus, do they have the ability, or their shlichus, do they have the ability to go ahead and write a new shtar? Now what's happening over here? Take a look at the Rashbam. Bishlama beit dina mekarin umachlif and achar the kosvin oso mizman rishon litrof shalokidin mizman rishon. The minadin lo alim shtar le mitrof elamiyom shenechta ve'elach ela beis din alimi umafki mamona dehefker beis din hefker kidinafkalam e'elah nachal. So we're supposed to listen to this. The Gemara is raising a very interesting point. When, let's say, I go out, I borrowed $1,000 from Reuven, I will call it on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Now come Shavasar B'Tammuz, I go ahead and I pay him back. So I pay him back $500, I owe him another $500. We'll say, so the idea, the ability to tear up the shtar and write a new shtar using the old date, we'll say, is a very novel idea. Because, in essence, if I'm writing a new shtar, really, if you're going to write a new shtar, you have to date it as of when? As of today, the ability to go ahead and date the shtar back to the time of the original transaction, when I'm really creating a brand new shtar, is an incredibly novel idea that regular people can't do. Beis Din could do it, because Beis Din has power over all monetary transactions. Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. Therefore, again, Beis Din has the ability to tear up a shtar, write a new shtar, but yet use the old date. But witnesses, once witnesses have performed their shlichos with that original shtar, witnesses only have the ability. Now, witnesses could write in a shtar. They can absolutely write in a shtar that says, I owe Reuven $500. But what's going to be the date in that shtar? The date in that shtar is going to be today. They would not have the legal right, says the Gemara, or says Rav, to go ahead and predate it. Look at the Rashbam. Ela edim shasu shlichus, and that's the first of the short lines. Lichtov olohayid b'shtar yishon heich chosrin va'osin shlichos achares. Uminasan lahem koach zeh. The Eidim who went ahead and already witnessed the original transaction, what rights do they have to go ahead and draw up another document with the old date? V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda, so the Gemara says below, is that true that they don't have this power? V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Eidim Kosvin, Afilu Asara Shtaros al Sada Achos. B'yatav say, what did we learn? That Eidim have the power to write even up to 10 Shtaros on one field. Now, why would Eidim write 10 shtaros on one field? Again, look at the Rashbam, right across in the Rashbam, to the right. V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Misha Avad Shtaro. We'll say a very simple case. I have a field. I lost my shtar. V'ha'amar La'Eidim Kisvu Li'acher, chozrin the kosun afiba asara shtaros im avdu ze achar ze. So the eitan have the ability to write for me repetitive shtaros one after the other because I keep on losing my shtaros. So I'll say, what do you see from here? You see, remember, Rav or the Gemara wanted to make the argument on behalf of Rav that in this case, if we're going to draft a new shtar, only Bazin has the ability to draft new shtaros with old dates. But Edim do not have the ability to draft new shtaros with old dates. The Gemara says, is that true? Is that true? We see explicitly the Braisa says that if I keep losing my shtar, Bezdin in fact does have the ability to keep drafting new Edim have the ability to keep drafting new shtaros. To which the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar, Bishtar Matana. So what says the Gemara, Rav Yosef says, what are we talking about over here? It's a Shtar Matana. We'll say, so a Shtar Matana, you could draft as many versions of that as you want. Why? Why? Because it doesn't matter. You know, it's like there is no ramifications upon anyone else when you draft a shtar matana. Or the Gemara says, "Rabba Amar b'shtar shein bo achrayis." Or it could even be a document of sale. It just what doesn't have achrayis. So we'll say because it doesn't have achrayis, or because it's a shtar matana, therefore again going in and drafting that document has no negative implications or repercussions on anyone else, bless you. But when the potential document does go, bless you, does have repercussions on someone else, like a loan document, where there's the potential of achrayis, right? Then lemaisa, again, it is only Bezdin who has the ability to draft a new document with an old date. But Edim would not have that ability. So the Gemara says, my braisa. So the Gemara now goes back. What's the braisa that we quoted before? Disanya. Bless us into this. We learned. So listen to this case. I went ahead and I borrowed 1,000 zuz. And what happens? I went ahead and I paid back 500 zuz. So I borrowed 1,000, paid back 500. So what happens? Edim mekarin es hashtar v'kosin lo shtar achar mizman rishon divi Rabbi Huda. So what happens? Rabbi Huda says, what says Rabbi Huda like Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah? Rabbi Huda says, the witnesses tear up the original shtar and write a brand new shtar. Now, Bosai, if you'll notice over here, this price is more explicit than the Mishnah. Because this price adds in two words that the Mishnah did not, which is mizman rishon. The price explicitly says that according to Rabbi Huda, they are writing a new shtar, but with the old date. Div Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shtar zeyeh munach bimkomo, v'yichtavu shover. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we do not rewrite the shtar. We do not rewrite the shtar. Rather, the shtar remains as it is. Aye, so what about the fact that I paid $500? What do we do with that? We write a shover. We write a receipt. We write a receipt, and ultimately, Bezin, or we'll say, by the way, a receipt doesn't have to be written by Bezin. A receipt can be written by anyone. But I, the borrower, hold on to the receipt, and of course, then the onus is upon me. Right? The onus is upon me, because what happens? If I lose that receipt, I will say, then what? Then what? Then I'm in trouble, because the only other piece of paper that's in existence is what? Is the original shtar that says that I owe Reuven $1,000. So therefore, the Maisa again, the onus is upon me. So the Gemara says, "V'umipnei shnei devarim amru kosvin shover achas." Now, this is very interesting. I'm sorry, kosvin shover. Now, here's what's interesting. Obviously, the fundamental machlokes of all says we're going to see in just a little bit is who is vested with the onus when it comes to loans. Is it the malve or is it the love? Right? Is it the borrower? Is it the lender? So Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, I don't believe in ripping up the old shtar. We're going to keep the old shtar in place and we're going to write a receipt to the borrower for the $500 that he repaid. Why? For two reasons. Achos, kadesh, sheyachof lefaro. Bosa, listen to this. One reason is because the mere existence of this receipt urges the borrower to pay back as soon as possible. How so? Take a look at the Rashbam. Kadesh Yaakov Lefaro. It's almost right across. A little bit across and down. Hamalva Yaakov Lelova Lefaro. Shadoi Penyafsit Shovro. Vezei Yotzi Shtaro V'tovo Kol Chovo. So Rabbi Yossi, the Malva could turn the screws a little bit, in a legal way, on the Lova, by saying what? You know, boy, you better take good care of that Shover. Because if you lose that Shover, you know, I have a document that says you owe me $1,000. In other words, it's in the borrower's best interest to pay off this debt as soon as possible in order that he doesn't have to worry about safeguarding that shover anymore. Number two, va'achos kedei sheyigba mizman rishon. I will say, and number two is because remember, by having the malva hold on to the original date, the original shtar, that shtar contains the original date. That original date ultimately creates an encumbrance upon the lovis property as of the original date and not as of the partial payment date. I v'ha Rabbi Huda nami mizman rishon ka'amar. But one second, Rabbi Huda, the Bosei who holds that you tear up the shtar and you write a new shtar, also says that what's the date of the new shtar, right? Bosei, it's a new shtar, but old date. So which the Gemara says, Halchi kam de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda. You're right. This is what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda. I mizman rishon ka'amris. So Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Huda, if you agree with me that l'maisa, the new shtar, is dated in accordance with the first date, then Paligna alech bechada. Then I only argue with you on one count. In other words, I'm only arguing with you about the fact we write a new shtar, we write a shover. But im is man sheni kamris. But Rabbi Huda, if you hold that in your case the new shtar also gets the new date, then paligna alech betarti. Then ultimately, again, I will argue with you on two different levels. Fine. So we'll say so. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say what we have over here so far. Is a three-way machlokas, and ultimately, again, we have three-way machlokas, fine, but it seems to be, interestingly enough, so whether we're having the Edim tear up the shtar, writing a new one, Bezin tearing up the shtar, writing a new one, or no shtar at all, but rather we'll just write a receipt, we'll say either way in all of those cases, the old date is in effect. Obviously, according to Rav, or I should say according to Rabbi Yossi, that's because the original shtar is still in existence. But even according to Rav and Rabbi Huda, they're writing a new document. That new document has the old date. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say we Nagmar quotes a brayso. Shtar says manu kasav b'shabbos. This is another interesting case. So the Gemara says the following. So first of all, I'll just tell you the halacha in this case. Well, actually, we'll hold on to it for just a moment. Tana Rabbanan, shtar shazmano kasa b'shabes o ba'asara b'tishrei. So shtar me'ochar. So let's listen to this case. In this situation over here, we have the following reality. Let's say someone produces a shtar. And in this case, if you look at the Rashbam, it's the second wide line. He says, Tana Rabbanan, shtar shakasa b'osmano shabes o asiri b'tishrei. Kigon b'mekomo shemonon l'chad she'achama. The kasa b'shtar b'tesvav liyarech ploni gushanu niskakim lechavin masayira yom tesvav shal osa chodesh nimtso nasa v'yom shabbos o yom asir l'tishrei d'hanu yom kippurim v'akol yodin shalo nichtav lo b'shabbos lo kippurim v'nimtso shalo nichtav bo osa yom hamochiach b'shtar ela omuktam hu upas omuchkar. Listen to this, we'll say. You have a shtar. The shtar happens to have, let's call it, the secular date in it. And it turns out that when you open up your Hebrew calendar, your Jewish calendar, it turns out that the date that corresponds to the English date in the shtar, what happens? It's Shabbos. Or it's Yom Kippur. Now we make the automatic assumption that what? That Lemaisa Jews are not writing shtaros on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. So there are one or two possibilities. Either what? This is a shtar mukdam, it's a predated shtar, or it's a shtar mo'ocher. Or it's a post-dated shtar. In other words, one thing is clear, which is the date recorded in the shtar is not the actual date. Rather, it was either predated or post-dated. Now, both say, now, what does this matter? So the Gemara says, now remember, we've learned this before already. Post-dated shtaros are fine. Because the only person who's put at a disadvantage at a post-dated shtar is who? Let's say in the case of a loan, it's the malva. Or in the case of a sale, right, in the case of a sale, then it could be the buyer. But there's a party, and if the party accepts the disadvantage, they accept the disadvantage. Muktam Rabosai, predating is problematic. Why? Because let's say in the case of a loan, if you predate a loan document, then what? That creates an artificially early encumbrance upon anyone who might have bought other properties from the borrower. So that is illegal. A shtar muktam is illegal. A shtar mu'ukhar is kosher. So the Gemara says, so remember, now I look at the date on the shtar, and I know one thing is for sure, which is the date that's recorded is not the date it was written. It's either predated or postdated. So the Gemara says, so how do we look at the shtar? So the Gemara says, a shtar mu'ukhar of a kosher Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, we assume that it is a postdated shtar, and it is kosher. Rabbi Yossi posel. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, the shtar is going to be pasul. Why? Because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we have to assume that it's a shtar muktam, that it's a predated shtar, and therefore it's going to be possible. But we'll see, if you look at the shtar for just a moment, shtar mo'ocher huve kasher de Rabbi Huda, it's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down in the wide, in the intermediate lines. The Israeli Rabbi Huda, kol shtar mo'ocher kasher, va'afilu oso she'in lo'chiach misocho shal shtar mo'ocher huvim lav, the kol shkin jes shmar biyom shab shom ekipurim shazman mo'chiach shum mo'ocher. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Huda, as we're going to see, when you look at the shtar bosai, meaning this could cut either way, it's a shtar mocher, it's a shtar muktam. So we'll discuss why it is that Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi hold their respective opinions. But the point over here is, for now, Rabbi Huda assumes it's a shtar mocher, and therefore it's kasher. Rabbi Yossi holds it's a shtar muktam, therefore apostle. Amru Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda says, "Valo maisa balochal lefanecha betzipori." So this is Rabbi Huda said to Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi, there was a maisa, there was an episode that came before you in Sipori, vechsharta, and you, meaning this case came to you in Sipori, and you paskin that the document was kosher. So obviously, in a case where the date is not the actual date, you do hold that it's a shtar mo'ocher. Amarlo, to which Rabbi Yossi responded, kishechsharti bazeh hechsharti. When I was machshir that document, it was like this kind of case. What does that mean? If you look in the Rashi Bar Abosai, it's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. He says, "I'm really hechsharti baze shakasa zmana b'shabes yom kippurim hechsharti shemisocho mochiach shelo nichta b'zmano shari ein yisrael kosin shtaratz b'shabes yom kippurim v'akol yavinu shehu mo'ocher v'lo nafik minei churva kidele kamon aval b'mo'ocher ba'amo shezmano kasa b'yom ro'i l'ksiva v'lo yivade mo'ocher hu imla bahu palgina aloch o pasino v'tam l'kamon." So mostly listen to this. Rabbi Yossi says, "I agree with you that when a shtar has a date in it that clearly is not the date the shtar was written." But also remember again, there's a beautiful assumption that the Gemara is operating on over here, which is that Jews don't write shtaris on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So that's a beautiful, beautiful assumption that the Gemara is making. Rabbi Yossi says, when there is a shtar in the when there is a date in the document that is clearly not the date that the shtar was written, Rabbi Yossi will agree, "I agree with you, then in that case you could hold that the shtar is a shtar mo'ocher." But let's say there's a regular date in the shtar, there's a regular date in the shtar, and we know that that's not the date the shtar was written. In that case, where we don't know if it's a mo'ocher or if it's a muktam, in that case, Rabbi Yossi says, that's when I'll say that the shtar is false. So we'll say here the distinction Rabbi Yossi is making, when the date in the shtar is for sure not the date, the shtar could not have been written on that date, Rabbi Yossi says, in that case, we'll treat the shtar like a shtar muktam, and it'll be kosher. But ultimately, again, when the date is, shtar mu'ukhar, and it'll be kosher. When the date, however, again, is a date on which a shtar could have been written, but again, we're just pretty sure the shtar was not written on that date, then we'll be machmer, we'll treat it like a shtar muktam, and ultimately the shtar will be possible. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, nami bazeh kamar. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi says, I'm only machshir in this kind of case. Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, I'm also machshir in this kind of case. Meaning, this is the case we're talking about, where the date in the shtar, Rabbi Yossi, is a date upon which the shtar could not have been written. So we'll say, it appears that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are actually saying the same exact thing, which is in that kind of case, where the shtar turns out to be dated on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, everyone will agree that it's treated like a shtar mu'ukhar, a post-dated shtar will be kosher. Amrei Pidas, Hakomodim Shem Huskaknu La Onaso Shashtar, Venim says Onaso Mikhuvenas Peshabis, so Basar Batishrei, Shashtar Mu'ukhar Huva Kasher. So we'll say, therefore, again, this leads Rabbi Pidas to say, everyone agrees that if when we investigate the date of the shtar, Rabbi says, it turns out that the date of the shtar, remember, this is a case where they dated the shtar according to the secular date. So it turns out then when we look at our calendar, it turns out that it was Shabbos, it was Yom Kippur. Everyone agrees, Rabbi said, that we look at that, we treat that shtar as a shtar mu'ukhar, a post-dated shtar, and the shtar will be kosher. Amud Beis. Lo nechloku ela b'shtar mu'ukhar ba'alma. Rather, Rabbi said, the machlokes, ultimately, again, is only with what we call a regular shtar mu'ukhar. What's a regular shtar mu'ukhar? Take a look at the Rashbam, Tav Rasham, Kofay Nalaf Amud Beis. Lo nechloku ela b'shtar mu'ukhar ba'alma. Shemagia al nasa b'yom chol. The machlokes case is where a document has a date that we know the transaction didn't occur on. However, we know it. We know the transaction didn't occur. It says the 18th of Tammuz. They both say, could you have written a shtar on the 18th of Tammuz? Could you have written a shtar on the 18th? Yeah, it's a regular weekday. But I know the shtar, I know the document wasn't written on that day. So in that case, I will say, when I have a suffix, there are two possibilities then. If I know it wasn't written on the 18th, there's two possibilities. What are the two possibilities? It was written on the 17th, it was written on the 19th. I mean, you know, understand, going back in either direction. So in that case, Rabbi Huda Latame, so I will say, in that case, Rabbi Huda goes according to his reasoning, the Amar, Ein Kosvin Shover. Supposed to listen to this. Rabbi Huda is of the opinion, this is actually quite interesting, that in general, we do not write receipts. Right? We do not write a Shover. And I will say, now, just follow this train of thought. Remember, we do know this from Rabbi Huda, because remember, that's Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah. Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah says, what happens if I make a partial payment on money that I owe? What do we do? What do we do? Witnesses tear up the document, make a new shtar. We don't write a Shover. We don't write receipts. Therefore, what to say? And therefore, again, we're not worried that there's going to be something inappropriate that could come out of this case. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Take a look at the Rashbam. Not yet, I'm sorry. Rabbi Yossi the Tame, we'll explain this in just a moment. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds. Take a look at the Rabbi Huda. It's in the short lines of the Rashbam. Two, four, about six lines into when the short lines get short. Rabbi Huda, the machshula tamei damar in kosun shover hilchah lo chayish bein muuchar lichashenichtav bizmano liolam ino porea at sheikach hashtar vikrena vechivon shenikra hashtar lo chayish lemidi. So we'll say at the end of the day, Rabbi Huda holds, because there is no shover, because there is ultimately again no receipts that are written, so we're not worried that the malva could that the lender could potentially do anything inappropriate with this particular shtar. Again, we're going to point out in just a moment what could happen with a shtar mu'ocha that could be problematic. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Tamei, Rabbi Yossi holds, Damar Kosin Shover. Rabbi Yossi holds that we do write receipts, because we also remember again, Rabbi Yossi holds, again, going back to the Mishnah, that what happens, I make partial payment on my loan of $1,000, what happens? So the Malve gives me a receipt for a $500 payment, and therefore, v'nafik minei churva. And I will say again, now, the very dramatic Lashon over here, some type of catastrophe, right? The churban could occur as a result of this. I will say, we'll see this in just a moment, what's going to happen. I'm Rav Yehuda, the great Rav Yehoshua. Afilu man de omer kosvin shover. Even according to the opinion who says that we do go ahead and write the receipt, hani mili apalgo. We'll say, we only write receipts for what? For partial payments. In other words, we'll say, what does that mean? That if I pay up my debt, if I'm the Lova, and I plan on paying up the debt, well, so the only way I'm paying up the debt is how? Is if Lamaisa, the Malva, gives me back the shtar. Right? If the Malva does not give me back the shtar, then I am not going ahead and repaying that debt. Which makes sense. That's my right. My right is to not repay until you give me back the note. Because if you don't give me back the note, then Lamaisa, again, there's a fear, there's the concern that you may try to collect again. So even according to the Mandarin, says Rabbi Shah Rabbi Huda, even according to you, says that you do write receipts, that's only for partial payment, avala kulei lo. But ultimately, again, if I'm going to repay the entire debt, I want the note itself back, the shtar back. So the Gemara says, v'loi. That's not necessarily true. Afilu akule kasvinon. It's not true. We'll say sometimes we will even write a full receipt, or I should say a receipt for full payment. Ki hadra Yitzhak bar Yosef. We'll also listen to this case. Like David Rav Yitzhak bar Yosef, hava masik beizuzi Rabbi Abba. So also, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef lent money to Rabbi Abba. Fine. Also, the Kameid Rabbi Chanina bar Papi. So they came. They brought this case. They came before Rabbi Chanina bar Papi. Amarle havli zuzei. So what happens? So Rabbi Yitzchak said to Rabbi Abba, "Give me my money." To which Rabbi Abba responded, "No problem." Amarle havli shtari v'shakel. Rabbi Abba said, "No problem. Give me the note. Give me the note. I'll pay you the money. Give me the document. I'm only paying you once you return the loan document to me. Because again, it's not that I don't trust you, but, right? I trust you plenty, of course, Rabbi Yitzchak, but give me back the document because I don't want to create the possibility that you're going to collect again." Amarle, so what does Rabbi Yitzchak say? Shtarcha irkusli. Listen, I don't tell you, I lost the document. I lost the document, but I'll tell you what I will do. Echtov lecha tavra. I'll write for you a receipt. In other words, I'll write you a document that says you paid the debt, and I hereby release you from all future claims. To which Rabbi Abba responded, Amarle, Harav Ushmuel de Amri Tarvayu, in Kosvin Shover. Rav and Shmuel Abosai both said that we do not write a shover. Yeah, Abosai, ultimately, again, what does it mean we don't write a shover? Well, we'll discuss what it means. So listen to this. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Amar, man yohev lan, first white line, man yohev lan me'afra deravu Shmuel raminan ba'aynim. Oh, if only we had the dust of Rav and Shmuel to place in our eyes, which Abosai says another way of saying that we're nothing compared to Rav and Shmuel, meaning we're not even like the dust of the feet of Rav and Shmuel, but Harab Yochanan Vahare Shlakish Dharmi Tarvayu Kosvin Shover. Rabbi Abba, I appreciate that you are quoting Rav and Shmuel who say that we don't write the shover, we don't write a receipt, but I feel compelled to share with you that Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish held that you do write receipts. So the Gemara says, V'chein ki asa rabin am Rabbi Eli. So we'll say, the point over here, the Gemara is trying to highlight, is that what do you begin to see? So first of all, the Gemara made an assumption that has now been proven wrong. The Gemara made an assumption that even the one who holds that we write a shover, and I will say, remember, the machlokis about, it sounds like a strange machlokis to have. Do we write receipts? Do we not write receipts? What's the machlokis? The machlokis is, who bears the onus? In cases of repayment, who bears the onus to keep track of the paperwork? That's the fundamental shaila. So we'll say the Gemara made an assumption that now we've proven is wrong. The Gemara made an assumption that even if you hold that you write a shover, you only write a shover in which cases? Partial payment. But in cases of full payment, everyone agrees there's no shover. Because in cases of full payment, if I, the lender, want full payment, then I have to be ready to what? Or at least either tear it up or at least return the document. Something with the I have to be able to furnish the original document. Now the Gemara says, by the way, I just want to point out, that's wrong. I mean, not that it's wrong, but that in and of itself is subject to dispute. Yes, Rav and Shmuel hold that we do not write a shover for the full amount, but Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say that we do write a shover even for full amounts. Second wide line above said, Kofai and Aleph Amud Beis V'chein. Kios Rabbi Amar Rabbi Loi. Kosvin Shover. Rabbi was saying, similarly again, when Ravin came along, he said to Rabbi Eloi that we write a Shover. Omistabra di Kosvin Shover. And Rabbi was saying, it would appear that the halacha is that indeed we do write receipts. Listen to this. These sagadaitcha in Kosvin Shover. Because we'll say, if at the end of the day, now the Gemara gives a very interesting but yet straightforward argument. We'll say, let's play this out. If you say that we don't write receipts, then what? Then Avad Shtaro Shalzeh. Yochel halav echadi. Then we'll say, what does this mean? I lend Reuven $1,000. Okay? I lost the shtar. I lost the shtar. So you're telling me now that because I lost the shtar and I can't return the shtar, so Reuven, the borrower, the lesson over here is, he should be able to consume the money, the chadi, and he should rejoice, because now he doesn't have to pay me back since I can't furnish the shtar. But even though, again, he's not disputing the fact that he owes me the money, but I don't have the document to give him back to him, but I'm willing to write him a shover. So obviously, in a Mosai, we have to paskin that you can write a shover, because if you can't write a shover, that means if I lose the document, I lose the ability to collect, and the borrower could just keep the money and rejoice. So maskif le'abaye. So Abaye says, one second, I'll tell you the reverse of that argument. The elamai kosin shover. So what are you going to say? So therefore, what's the reverse? So therefore, you want to argue that we do write receipts. But I can make the counter argument. Avad shovro shalzeh, yochal halav echadi. They both say, let's say again, I lend Reuven $1,000. He pays me back. I claim I don't have the shtar. So what happens? He goes ahead, he pays me back, I write him a receipt. Then Abu Sayyid turns on, I do have the shtar. So two things happen. I have my shtar, and what happens to him? He loses his receipt. So because he lost his receipt, so I have the ability to now collect again based on the document. In other words, we'll say, what Abai is pointing out over here is the following. What Abai is saying is, Rabin, you're making an argument that of course we have to go ahead and write receipts, because if not, the lender is put at a disadvantage. Abaye says, well, I can make the counter argument. If you do write receipts, then you potentially put the borrower at a disadvantage. To which Abaye says, yes. So the Gemara says, to which Rabin says, Amar Le Rava, in, you're right, the playing field is not equal, is not level. Rather, Eved Lova Le'ish Malva. Rabbi says, it's actually quite dramatic. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei that the borrower is an Eved to the lender. Which we'll say is another way of saying that the playing field is not level. Not everyone has equal rights. The borrower meaning at the end of the day, we look to secure the rights of the lender over the borrower. Not that we're taking advantage of the borrower, chas v'shalom. The borrower is secured in many ways in halacha as well, but lemaisa, in this type of situation, the rights of the borrower, of the lender, trump the rights of the lender. So we'll say, of the borrower, sorry. Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara seems to be suggesting that halacha lemaisa, we will go ahead and write the shover. Even the rabbis say, what happens if you write the shover? That places the onus on whom? That places the onus on the borrower to always make sure that he keeps that document somewhere, that if for some reason his repayment of the loan is ever challenged, either because the lender goes ahead and produces the document or for some other reason, he has the ability to furnish the proper paperwork to show that halacha lemaaseh went ahead and repaid the debt. So we'll say, okay, fine. Tanan Hassam. We'll go a little bit back to it, and then we'll do that halacha. Tanan Hassam. Shtari chova mukdam psulin, v'ha me'ucharin ksherin. We'll say, remember again, like going back a little bit to what we learned before. Shtar chov mukdam, if you predate a document, it is possible. So we'll say, let me say this now. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is it in Chosha Mishpat Hilchos Halva, Simen Nun Dalet Sif Aleph. Misha para miktas chovo. I will say, let's just close out the previous case. I go ahead and I repay part of my debt, case of the Mishnah. I borrowed $1,000 from Reuven, I pay him back $500. We'll say, three machlokes, what do we do? Aiden tear up the shtar, write a new one, Bezin tears up the shtar, write a new one, or just give me a receipt. Which one is it? So the halacha is, imratza malve, Bezin yasulo shtar mimash nishar chayivlo, v'yichtiveu mizman rishon, aval lo edi ashtar, v'imratza yichtov shover. The way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins is, how do we deal with a partially paid note? And the answer is, any way the Malveh wants it. If the Malveh, the lender, wants a new shtar, then we being who? Beis Din will draft a new shtar. You can't have Edim draft the shtar, because you can't, and here's a very important idea. Edim cannot draft a new document with an old date. That is the Rabosa, you understand why that's a necessity. Because you can't have witnesses drafting documents with dates, with anything other than the current date, because you open yourself up to all kinds of problems. Therefore, again, if I'm the lender and Reuven paid me back $500 and now he sells me another $500, I as the lender have a number of possibilities. Possibility one, Beis Din draft me a new document with the old date, or possibility two is I could write a receipt to Reuven for the $500 pay. So also you see two things from this halacha. Number one, we paskin that we do write receipts, because we paskin, you know, eved lo v'le'ish malveh, that it is the malveh, is the lender, who has the upper hand in determining how this repayment is recorded. And number two, again, that the malveh has multiple options, or two options, at his disposal. Either in the case of partial payment, ask Beis Din to draft a new shtar, or just simply write ishover for the amount that's been repaid. Good. Tanan Hassam. Shtar yichol from muktam and psulun. I will say, if you predate shtaros, ultimately, again, the shtar is possible. V'ha me'ucharin k'sherin. But I will say, post-dated shtaros are going to be kosher. Amrav Hamnuna, lo shanu ela shtari halva. So Hamnuna said, this is only true with loan documents. Aval shtari me'akachu memkar, afilu me'ucharin nami psulin. But I will say, so when do we say that a shtar mu'uchar, that a post-dated document is going to be kosher? That's only by loan documents, because we'll say that makes sense, right? If, let's say, I'm lending Reuven money, and I decide, for whatever the reason, that I'm willing to post-date the document. They're both say, who is the only person who's put at a disadvantage with a post-dated document? The lender, right? Why? Because also that means my lien, my shibud, against the borrower's property is delayed. If I choose to go ahead and take that upon myself, that's my prerogative. However, again, if I'm selling something to Reuven, afilu meuchar nami psulin, then lemaisa, again, even a post-dated document is going to be possible. What's the reason for that? My timer. Zimnin demazbin le'arab nisan. I'm listen to this, because sometimes I'll sell Reuven land in Nisan because of Levi Tishrei. And let's say we decide to post-date the document till Tishrei. For whatever the reason, we'll say the why doesn't really matter. So we decide to post-date the document till Tishrei. Okay, now what happens? Now we'll say, now the Gemara is assuming that people sell land. Very often people sold land. Why? Because they were in financial distress. I needed money. So Reuven needs money. He's selling me a piece of land in order to get money. So what happens? The sale itself is taking place in Nisan. But for whatever reason, we date the document for Tishrei. Okay. In the interim, what happens? So umisrami le bezuze. Excuse me. So let's say what happens. So what happens in the interim? So Reuven sold me his land in Nisan because he needed cash. We did a document for Tishrei. In the interim, we'll call it in Av. So Reuven comes into some money, Baruch Hashem. And what happens? He buys back the piece of land from me. What's the problem, Bosei? What's the problem? I have a document that's dated when? That's dated Tishrei. V'chimati Tishrei. So we'll say, what could I do? I have a document that's dated Tishrei, so what could I do? Comes Tishrei, I can't produce the document, then what could I claim? I claim, oh, Reuven, I rebought this land from you. Yes, it's true that we had a transaction back in Nisan. You bought that land back from me. I bought the land a second time from you, ultimately again in Tishrei. And after all, what's the proof? What's the proof, Rabosai? I have a document that's dated Tishrei. So the Gemara says, one second, but if that's your concern, the same concern applies in the case of a loan document. How so? Zimnin di Yosef b'Nisan. Because you could have a case where I lent Reuven money in Nisan, uksiv le'shtara b'Tishrei. And I will say, what happens? I date the document for Tishrei, right? I decide to post-date the document. And what happens? Umestramele bizuze beni ubeni uparale. In the interim, again, chodeshav, Reuven pays me back the loan. And what happens? Va'amrale havli shtaroi. And we'll say what happens. Obviously, in this case, when Reuven pays me back the loan, what does he say? What does he say? Give me back the document. What do I claim? Va'amrale irkasli. I'm so sorry. I lost it. Vikasiv le tavra. And what happens? We'll say, so I said I lost it, but I'll write you a receipt. Vichimatiz mane. Mafikle, and I will say what happens. When Tishrei comes, what do? I go ahead and I produce the document that says, I lent money Reuven in Tishrei. Va'amarle, hani hashto diyasis mine. And what happens? I can say, Reuven, this was a new loan. Vaharaya, it's dated Tishrei. So the Gemara says, Kasavar in Kosvin Shover. So I'm going to say, will say that this opinion would hold that you don't write the receipt. I'm going to say, what does it mean you don't write a receipt? Therefore, again, Reuven is not going to repay unless what? Unless I could furnish the document. In which case, he's going to take possession of the document. In which case, then what? Then Lamai said, this case of trickery would never occur. So the Gemara says, one second. Amali Rav Yemar Rav Kahana, Va'amri Le Rav Yirmiya Bar Difti, Mi Difti Rav Kahana, Va'idna, Dikasvinan Shtari Mu'uchar, Vikasvinan Tavra, this is amazing. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Difti said to Rav Kahana, Rebbe, I don't understand. This is where it gets really, really intense. Because now what we're going to see is the clash between halacha, right? Halacha in the abstract, or I should say halacha in the theoretical, and lemaisa. So what you have over here, the Gemara sings the following. Now Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Difti says to Rav Kahana, Rebbe, I don't understand. Today, meaning we do write shtari mu'ochar. We do write post-dated documents, and not only that, we also write receipts. We write receipts, which I both say, now, if you understand that, then what? That is a combustible combination. How so? Because I both say, then you can easily set up for a case of somebody taking advantage. I lend Reuven money in Nisan. I date the shtar for Tishrei. What happens? That's $1,000. He pays me back in Av. I claim I lost the document. What do? I write him a receipt. Fine, no problem, he has a receipt. Then what happens? Comes Tishrei, so what do? I whip out that document again. You owe me money. He produces the receipt. That's fine. That was for an old note. That was for an old debt. This is for a new debt. So I could easily take advantage of the situation. So the Ibn Arsa Basha Dharmaluhu, Rabbi Abul Safrei. So it was Basar Da'amarluhu, Rabbi Abul Safrei. So we'll say, no, because now Rabbi Abba instituted an important practice. That we tell to our sofrim. Ki kesivaso shtar mo'ochar. If you are going to write the shtar mo'ochar, so kasvu hachi, you have to write the following. Shtara dinan lo bizmanei kasvinei, ela achrenuhu vikasvunu. So we'll say, Rabbi Abba instituted an important practice. Rabbi Abba said, if you are going to write a shtar mo'ochar, there has to be something indicated in that shtar that says, this shtar is being post-dated. Right? Haki shtar, shtar dinan, this shtar, lo bizmane kasina, is not dated, was not really written on the date recorded in this shtar. Ela acharnuhu, we post-dated it, Vikas v'nuhu. And we wrote it. Now, both say, you'll see in Nisan, why is somebody going through all of this trouble to do this? No, understand. Both say, I just give you the simplest reason why somebody would do this. I'm lending Reuven money. And for whatever the reason, the arrangement we have is we don't want my lender's lien to devolve upon his borrower's property until a later date. He's got some business deals that he needs to take care of. He can't sell encumbered property, so I am delaying my encumbrance. That's the simplest case why somebody would want to do this. So Rabbi Abba says, no problem. You have to note that in the shtar, so that when somebody's going ahead and writing a post-dated shtar for whatever the legal reason is, it's clear in the shtar that it's post-dated. So let's listen to this. That sounds great. Amrili Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. But now that we don't do that, so that's a great etza. But no one's doing that. So now that we don't do this, so how do we safeguard against illegal uses of a post dated shtar? So the Gemara says, Basar Damli Rav Safra Le Safre Ki Kesi Vasu Hani Tavre. So let's listen to this. So now that we don't do this, in other words, now that they weren't taking the advice of Rabbi Abba, or I should say of Rav Safra, and writing this formulation of Shtar Me'ocher, so how do we protect the borrower against being taken advantage of? We'll say very simple. What we do is, we write the date of the document and the date of the shover and the date of the receipt. So for example, if the receipt ultimately again was being issued, so we'll say in this case, I lent money to Reuven in Nisan, but the shtar is dated Tishrei. So that's no problem. How do we date the receipt, Rabosai? We date the receipt to line up with the date in the shtar. This way, again, the receipt is also dated Tishrei. Therefore, again, if I try to go ahead and pull out that document to go ahead and come against Reuven and Tishrei, he has a receipt that ultimately is able to offset the date of the shtar. Or, the other possibility says, what do? We write Reuven a shofar without what? Without any date at all. What's the beauty, Rabosai, of having a dateless receipt? Dateless receipt is, you could, now, again, that's a shtickle dangerous as well, right? Because that is mamish like a get out of jail free card for the rest of your life. But Lamaisa, again, what it does do is, it allows Reuven to furnish that receipt ultimately, again, at any point in time when the lender would furnish the document. So we'll stop over here for today. We're not finished with this sugya yet. We still have to figure out, again, what we've established is shtar muktam, predated document puzzle, shtar mo'ochar kasher, but yet now we're clearly seeing the ways in which a person can take advantage of shtar me'ocher, and we're trying to examine the ways in which the halacha protects the individual against those potential treacheries. Shpaya. Sorry? Once I say we'll stop here, we're done.